Talk Line Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are you gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mother, Mothers Align, Saving Kids. Kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, for yeshiva liaison, for an inpatient or outpatient program, whether it's for mental health, addiction, molestation, whatever trauma may be, feel free to give us a call on our confidential number. You can call anonymous, actually, 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat the number. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a loved one. Maybe for you'll give it to a neighbor, somebody you sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. I'm really excited about continuing our conversation on the new book out there by Dr. Louise Denger, Addiction in the Family, Helping Families Navigate Challenges, Emotions, and Recovery. And I'd like to welcome on a dear, dear friend, a colleague, and a dear, dear friend again, Dr. Louise Denger. Welcome. How are you?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad to be with you today, and I just love all the wonderful work, Marka, you do and Mass does. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. And the show last week, we started the conversation on the practical and supportive guide for the families that are struggling with addiction. And just for those, we're going to review, for those that did not hear last week, we'll review just a little. Why did you write the book?
So I was approached by a media company called Callisto Media right before COVID started to write this book, Addiction in the Family, Helping Families Navigate Challenges and Emotions. And I sat and I thought about it. This is the guidebook that I wish I had had many years ago. It's based on really four different tentacles. It's based on the fact that when people call me, their hearts are hurting and they're confused and they ask, you know, they tell you what's going on in their lives and then they ask, you know, what should I do? What should I say? Where should I go? And probably they don't ask this question, but it's so, so important. How can I take care of myself? Because I'm so anxious, I'm so upset about my loved one who's experiencing either a substance use crisis or a mental health crisis, or both of them.
I love that you put at the end of every chapter about self-care activities and the importance of it. Do you want to share, please, once again, for some that heard it last week, we'll hear it again. It's such an important message about self-care. So yes. What's your
take on it? I'd love to.
It?
So when people's hearts are hurting and they're, worried, sick about their loved one who, again, is experiencing a substance use disorder or a mental health disorder, they oftentimes don't take care of themselves. And that's really the antithesis of what needs to be done. So at the end of every chapter I have, and there's just six really easy chapters, and you can pick up almost anyone, there are suggestions and ways to do self-care. So whether it's practicing, doing a practice of gratitude, which we know from evidence-based research changes actually your brain waves and makes you see the world more abundant, to breathing, to engaging in physical activities. And some people like to write, they like to journal. And one chapter I suggest that really that you do three things each week to take care of yourself physically, to take care of yourself emotionally, and lastly, spiritually. So, and whether that's going to, temple, whether it's practicing the Shabbat, whether it's taking a walk, whether it's biking, you know, because many things we can do now in COVID. And in the last chapter, I invite people to be of service to someone else, which is really what MASC excels at. And that is when you have a loved one that you've been able to help, the greatest gift you can give to someone else is listening to them and being of service.
So, you know, at the MASC parent group, we always encourage that couples go out for a date once a week and reconnect, because there is so much stress that is brought into one's family. And what do they say, you know, on the airplanes? First, you need to put on your mask before you give it to your family members. So, yes, self-care is so, so important. You described some cases last week. I was wondering if you could share one or two more cases that you describe in the book.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, would you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
If you could just, if last week you spoke about cases that you write up in your book, I was wondering if you could share tonight again two more cases, if you can describe situations so my listeners
may connect to it. You know, in my book, I really change people around. So these are sort of composites of people. But I start out with, and I might read to you about Gina, because she's on page 2 of my book, so we start off right away. Gina was the youngest child in her family, and she had a magnetic personality. While she was growing up, her father was actively involved, yet he struggled with alcoholism or substance use, and her mom suffered from an alcohol use disorder. So there was a history in the family sometimes of a substance use disorder. That's not always the case, but it was with Gina. And Gina's sister was just perfect. She actually was. And her brother was in recovery from mind-altering substances and gambling. So he was involved. So the whole family actually had a genetic predisposition to this disease. But when Gina was in high school, she was really bright. She was the life of the party. In high school, she was the head cheerleader. She lived for the after party. But then all of a sudden, Adderall became just her best friend. She met and married her college sweetheart. She had two beautiful little children, but, you know, she then was still using. So one of the questions was, how can we help Gina become the young woman that she's meant to be, and how do we help her family be the family they were meant to be, because it was certainly something that did it. And, you know, later on in the book I talk about an older adult who have experienced, substance use disorder. They've experienced the loss or trauma of a sudden death, and they've also were able to be helped, or a high school student, because I know that many of us have high school students, and all of a sudden we know that anxiety and depression is up. We also know that use of vaping or marijuana is up in many states because it's legal. And how do we begin to help them get the help that they need? So throughout the book, there's a variety of different vignettes, which probably may be able to do it. I love another one that I didn't talk about last time was about Visha. And Visha, at 23, graduated college with honors. And she played lacrosse, and she found partying to be a great way of life. And I don't know how many of you have had college students that have found alcohol or other drugs. And when she was at a party, which we talk about the big red cup, was filled with rock and made her feel stronger, faster, and prettier. She loved being the life of the party, and most of her family just wasn't her advocate, but her grandmother was. She ran up credit card bills, and she ended up just going different places, and she would end up actually going to hotel bars, drinking, and then maids would need to find her in the hotel rooms. And what happened was we were able to give her the gift of treatment, and the parents were able to set some healthy boundaries. And one day she was just tired of being sick. She was tired of the hospitalizations, and whatever her feelings about her family, whatever her low self-esteem, would be able to change the trajectory.
You know, I so like how we refer to treatment as a gift, and I really want my listeners to hear why we refer to treatment as a gift, so that when they offer treatment to their loved ones, that they convey that message to their loved ones with the words as a gift.
Well, first of all, we're living in a lockdown trauma bubble right now. There is no better time in the world right now than to seek substance use and mental health treatment. There's no better place. There's no better places that are really taken care of in terms of cleanliness, in terms of COVID regulations. But the world is sort of in this gap year where one can take the time to really work on this. Going to treatment is a way to begin the first day of your next life. And it is a way to rewrite not only your story, but to change the way in which your entire family interacts. And so this is a gift, and I always consider offering someone a gift, whether it's going to a support group, whether it's going to outpatient, this is a gift. Because this is the beginning of a new life. And it's not just you rewriting your life, the identified loved one, which is what I call it, but it's also the family rewriting their life.
Doctor, I really want to talk about the importance of support groups. And like we said last week, there are many people that say, no, I just want to go to a therapist and help me figure it out. And I really, I'm not on the same page as my spouse. And we're struggling in the house. And I don't want to hear other people's problems. So I think it's important for those that may have missed it to talk about the power of support groups, please, and the benefits.
Well, in the back of this book, there's so many support groups that you can try, but I think I'll talk from my own experience. I know that when I was confronted with a loved one who experienced both substance use and mental health disorders, I felt horrible. I felt as if my world had crashed before me. I had nagged, I had pleaded, I had begged, I had controlled, I had done everything in the world I thought was helpful, and I actually got myself sick with bronchitis. And then I was able to meet someone who introduced me to a support group, a 12-step support group. And they said, just go. Try six and try six more. Well, I was hurting so much, and I was also well-known in the community. I was president of a school board, so I was afraid, oh, my God, what will people think, blah, 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 blah. And yet my pain was so great that I went. And I went to six, and then I went to six more, and then all of a sudden, I started to feel better. I started to hear different things that helped me change how I interacted, how I took care of myself, and how I was able to change, in many ways, the trajectory of my entire family's life. You know,
so important. So important. Group is. It's such an amazing tool. We watch parents move along and do so much better for themselves. And for some, the journey is longer, of course, but there is movement. when parents start to attend groups. So in the right direction. Not for all quick enough. Many say, I can't, it's going to take too long. But for many, 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 we've seen such great results as a result of attending the groups. If you learn to change the music in your home, your child's dance steps could change. And that goes for anyone. So it's really a good idea to share our number, 718-758-0400, with other friends, relatives, neighbors, somebody you sit next to in shul, so that they could benefit if they're struggling. But don't give it to them only when their kids on the street on opioids or whatever. Why don't you give it to them early on? We have groups for parents with young children, and we have referrals. You can start. Prevention is the best to work with. It's so much easier than having to unwind all those wires later that become very messy when struggling with addiction. Doctor, let's go back to the five magic words in your book, please.
So the truth is, I learned those five magic words in a support group, okay? I'm not going to tell a lie, but to me, one of the most important things is helping your loved one be responsible for their behavior. And we can change behavior with five magic words. Those are yes, no, oh, really, and whatever. Used appropriately and in the right sentence, they can actually make the other person responsible. So you can say, yes, I'm only going to support you in health and wellness. You can use yes to mean no. Yes, I am no longer able to give you an allowance. Yes, I will no longer call the school counselor. I will no longer call your boss. I will no longer run out and buy you a bottle of alcohol. I am no longer going to aid and abet you. You can do that also with a no. And also, sometimes people will yell and scream at you and say, this is your problem, and or you did something, and you can just respond by repeating what they say and saying, oh, really? And that makes the other person become responsible for their behavior. You know, it's your fault that I didn't do this, this, and this. And you can say, really? It wasn't your fault at all. You had nothing to do with it. It's just that the disease is projecting outward. And sometimes, although a lot of people don't like the word, I often use the word whatever. And some people find that too harsh. But of all those words, use the ones you like and try them. And you can feel free to write me and let me know the sentences that you've used.
Excellent. Excellent advice, because usually one's response would be, oh, no, I'm not going to, or, oh, no, I won't, or, oh, no, and, you know, it comes out. All the child hears is the word no. So you're right. The word yes comes out so much more positive. Yes, you may get the same reaction, but after a while, they may respond differently, and that's the power of starting with the word yes. Thank you for that. Let's talk about your impact letter. Tell
okay,
us about
so
it, please.
If they do get the book, I'm going to invite them to turn to page 71. So sometimes if you're trying to do this on your own, you can. Obviously, there's professionals that can help you invite your loved one to change. But once you've chosen a treatment option and you've done your due diligence, you've done your research, it's important to talk to your loved one and let them know how much you care about them and what you want them to do. So you need to have a letter which invites them to change. And you're not going to give this letter until absolutely all the arrangements have been made, because otherwise you may not have the ability to follow through. So the notion of writing a letter is really, this is the way that you will invite your loved one to accept whatever treatment option you have come on. So, and this is really what we call a crucial conversation. It's really important, and it's really good if you take a chance and you try and write this down, because this is non-judgmental. It really has much more I terms and not you, you, you. And a good letter will typically have three parts. And sometimes another person will talk about this as being a living eulogy. That's not. What's special about your loved one? What are the vivid memories that speak to you about how special that person is? So it may be that I remember when you were born. And I remember when we played football together, or I took you to the school dance, or whatever. I remember when we first met and we were young in love. I don't know what all those memories are, but, you know, you need to connect a couple of them. And then, really, why is your heart hurting? What have you actually experienced in the last 6 months to a year that have left you frightened, confused, or angered you? It may be that your loved one has stopped going to school. It may be that they flunked out of school. It may be that they've lied and cheated, and all of a sudden there is money in your purse, and now that sort of money is missing. It may be that all of a sudden you came home and you found all these empty, like, wine bottles or alcohol bottles, or there's drug paraphernalia there, or they got arrested, or they got in car accidents, or they lost their job, or they were hospitalized. What are some of the things that you, what are those eyewitness accounts? And so in that respect, you're like a news reporter. These are eyewitness accounts. And then, and then the last part is, what is your hope? And that is, your hope is that you're going to accept this gift today. But an impact letter also sets boundaries, which I call compassionate directives. And this means that the family and friends will have to figure out what boundaries are if they set up and the loved one is resistant to change. An example of a boundary or compassionate directness, as I like to call it, is setting limits, such as a declaration. You're not going to give money or make excuses anymore, as I said earlier, for a loved one missing school or work. For example, your letter could say, we love and care about you, but we'll no longer look the other way. We'll no longer send you a monthly stipend or pay for your phone, as it's merely a direct dial to the drug dealer. We will, however, support you once you get help. You know, and if you're sending someone off to treatment, you know, you're getting letters from a variety of different people because you want to intervene in a group. You do not want to ever go one-on-one with someone who's active in an addiction. The only way that the only way that will change is if you, you'll walk away confused if you try to go one-on-one with somebody, and that you won't do it. So that's the power of going in with a group, and everybody would have their own impact letter.
So that is with the treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And not done alone. I do want to repeat that it's so important that parents choose what works for them. We said it last week, I want to say it again, that not everybody does only one way. So for some families, this will work. Other families, they may go to different therapists or different interventionists and have different guidance to offer. We at MASC offer resources so that parents could then pick and choose what works for their family. So you said that, for instance, I will not pay for your phone any longer. There are some professionals that disagree with that. So I'm just putting it out there that we're not giving therapy over the radio with Dr. Stenger or myself.
We're just
offering the resources and examples. And of course, whatever the addiction therapist you may be working with or rehab or outpatient, whatever, that is what you go with. These are just examples from the book that work, you know, under the Addiction and the Family book by Dr. Louise Stenger. I just wanted to put it out there. Dr. Stenger,
so,
let's...
Absolutely, we are not giving any advice, any therapy. In fact, you know, my malpractice would disallow me from doing it. These are... This is a guidebook, and what I want you to do, like anything, is take what you like and leave the rest. If it can be of service to you, if it can be of service to the therapist that you are speaking with, because it is designed not only just for you, but it's also for counselors and coaches, then that is a wonderful thing to happen.
Absolutely. Wonderful book. Dr. Louise, I must say that it's such an easy read. And even if some parents, you know, go down a different journey with their professional advice, there's so much in the book that you will go along with. So if it's one or two things that your therapist or yourself, your family does not want to follow, that's your choice. But the book on a whole is a wonderful, easy read and easy explanation when faced with addiction in the family. So thank you, Dr. Stenger. It's great having you on again and again and again, and I hope to have you on again. Thanks.
Oh, my God. I just love you. And, you know, to everybody in New York from me in California, just stay safe, stay well, and know that there's always hope. And there's always a solution.
Right, and I just want everyone to know that Dr. Stenger and I, we met the first time several years ago at the Nefesh International Conference, which I'm an executive board member on, and where there are almost 900 Jewish religious from Therapist Network, Nefesh International. Go online, check it out, wonderful webinars and information. So I miss seeing you there during COVID. We don't have our conference.
I know.
Miss seeing you.
You know, and I would love to speak there. I'd love to share Addiction in the Family with them.
Absolutely.
But I so miss you. And, you know, should we be able to, like, come in a non-COVID world, I would love to be present with you.
Yeah, looking forward. So thank you again. I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually hug tight. Please go online, maskparents.org. Donate online so we can continue with our helpline, helping those families and our radio shows. Please be our partner. Go online, small amount, large amount, whatever is comfortable for you to give. Keep us in mind for your charity. Thank you. And have a good night. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hi, this is Abe Schoenberg speaking for Belmont Galleries NYC.com. We have several galleries online, from Judaica to Modern to Neil Kerman to Fine Art, selling affordable art for your homes and offices. Why not give a gift of art that lasts lifetimes? Great for weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations. It's also seen in Buy the Book Judaica in Woodmere. You can call me at 917-749-3627 for help in selecting your artworks. We are affordable and will ship directly to your address. Belmont Galleries NYC.com, 917-749-3627. Thank you.
Did you ever consider being on the radio or hosting your own radio show? Now TalkLine is giving you the opportunity to produce your own daily or weekly radio program. Primetime airtime is available at very affordable and competitive rates. We're looking for independently produced or organizational programs of interest to the Jewish community in the areas of Judaica or Jewish interest, music, news, talk, legal, medical, or financial. Introductory charter rates are also available for advertisers. For more information, contact the Talkline Broadcasting Corporation at 212-769-1925. Again, that number, 212-769-1925.